Hi everyone, welcome to Growing Boy Stories. My name is Stephen Dunham. In each growing boy story, Adam and David love each other because they are brothers. Of course, they get into arguments and even fight with each other sometimes, but they love to do everything together. Their parents help them learn how to play, get hurt, comfort each other, and play together again. Along the way, Adam and David have so much fun and love their lives. Listen to their stories right here on Growing Boy Stories. This episode is called Apples and Oranges. Did you know that apples and oranges are good for you? In fact, you might know that apples help your stomach, and oranges contain vitamin C. But in this story, David and his friends turn apples and oranges into destructive things, things that cause a lot of damage. Would you like to find out more? Well, let's take a listen and see what happens. David leaned his left cheek against the front window, watching his breath fog up the glass as he inhaled and exhaled, which means breathing in and out. Each time a car passed, he peeled his cheek away from the window, eyeing the car, hoping it would turn into the driveway. His classmate named Muhammad was visiting to play on this warm, sunny Saturday morning. David felt bored because his older brother named Adam was spending the whole weekend at another friend's house. At the same time, he felt excited because Muhammad hadn't played at David's house before. "Mom, Dad, he's here. I see the car." Before Sarah or Aaron could answer, David exited the front door, ran to the car, and opened it for Muhammad. "Are you ready to play?" he asked. Muhammad smiled and said, "My house is so boring right now. Let's do something." Muhammad wore brown pants and a yellow shirt with blue stripes across it. He had dark skin, dark curly hair, and wore silver-colored glasses. David wore his favorite clothes, which were blue shorts and a white t-shirt. He had light-colored skin and dark curly hair, which rested on his shoulders. After an hour of video games in the living room, David and Muhammad found David's mom named Sarah. "Mom, we're bored," announced David. "Would you like to play a board game?" she asked. "No." "Would you like to color with crayons or markers?" "No." "Why don't you go in the backyard? You can pretend. You can use your imagination and make up some stories." David and Muhammad didn't have any other ideas, so they migrated to the backyard, which contained 3 orange trees and 2 apple trees. The orange trees lined up in a row at the back of the yard. The 2 apple trees stood tall and upright in the center. All the trees had begun dropping their fruit to the ground weeks before, and David's parents were behind on picking them up. "Let's play dodgeball with apples and oranges," suggested David. "I get to throw first," claimed Muhammad with a smile. "But I want to throw first. It was my idea," said David. "Why don't we just throw at the same time?" said Muhammad. "Okay," said David. "Why didn't we think of that in the first place?" Muhammad and David canvassed the entire backyard, picking up the apples and oranges. Some of the fruit was firm because it had just fallen off of the tree. But some of the fruit was soft and mushy because it had been on the ground for several weeks. Some of the fruit was even rotten. David counted each apple and orange he dropped into a pile in the center of the yard. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Actually, he counted 20 oranges and 20 apples, most of them soft and mushy. Muhammad piled his fruit next to the fence at the side of the yard. The fence was made out of metal and was called a chain link fence made out of really thick metal wire. You could see right through the fence because each chain link in the fence was 2 inches long and 2 inches wide. In fact, a small orange could almost fit through one of those chain links. Behind the chain link fence was the neighbor's wooden garage, which had just been painted a bright white color. It was so clean and so nice looking. Can you see that bright white garage behind the chain link fence? Can you guess what happened next? Oh boy. Muhammad hurled an apple and then an orange, but David dodged them. David threw two oranges and an apple at Muhammad, but Muhammad dodged his as well. As Muhammad moved left, the oranges and apple crashed into the chain link fence. Because the fruit was soft, mushy, and rotten, chunks of the fruit splattered onto the newly painted, clean, white wooden garage. David and Muhammad darted back and forth, laughing, snorting, tripping, and even catching some fruit. However, most of the apples and oranges whizzed right past each other. When Muhammad missed David, it wasn't a problem because the fruit just rolled into the middle of the yard. But when David threw his fruit, it pummeled the chain link fence over and over again, splattering a mushy, gushy, rotten apple spray all over that brand new white garage. David hurled one last orange at Muhammad, hit the fence, and splattered it all over the garage. "What are you doing?" yelled Mr. Stevenson, the new neighbor. Mr. Stevenson stood more than 6 feet tall. His brown pants swished as he walked between the chain link fence and the white garage. He bent over, inspecting the fruit-splattered garage. He was an older African-American gentleman with a balding head in the back and white hair around the sides of his head and ears. He wore gold-colored, wire-rimmed glasses that were very nice-looking. He stood back up, faced David and Muhammad, and put his hands on his hips. Mr. Stevenson raised his voice. "Just what do you think you are doing? Do you see what you just did?" Muhammad's eyes opened wide, but his mouth closed tightly with pursed lips. David stood motionless. Inside his body, he felt adrenaline, a fearful feeling that ran throughout his body from his legs and toes to his arms and hands. His tummy felt like it was turning and tumbling all over the place. "We were playing Dodge the Fruit," explained David. "Well, your fruit messed up the whole garage," declared Mr. Stevenson, whose hands remained on his hips. After a few moments, he pivoted on his heel and stomped toward the back door of his house. "We better go inside," said Muhammad. "Yeah, let's go," agreed David. Inside, Sarah, David's mom, held a hammer and a tool called a level that she was using to hang a large painting in the kitchen. Her smiling face instantly turned into a concerned face as David and Muhammad moped into the kitchen with their heads and shoulders hung low, facing the ground. "Hold on there," said Sarah. "I heard laughing and playing a minute ago, but you look really upset right now. What's going on?" David and Muhammad stopped, but didn't say a word. "David, you know you can trust me. Can you tell me what happened?" David reluctantly described the Dodge the Fruit game and about how the apples and oranges splattered all over the Stevenson's garage, along with Mr. Stevenson's anger. Sarah guided the boys over to the Stevenson's front door and rang the doorbell. Mrs. Stevenson opened the door with a concerned face. She knew what had happened. "Hello, Mrs. Stevenson," said Sarah. "David and Muhammad got your garage all dirty, and they'd like to clean it up. Mrs. Stevenson tried to sound positive, but she knew her husband was really angry. She said, "Mr. Stevenson is already walking out the back door to wash it up. You can tell him you'd like to help if he'll let you." Sarah rounded the house with the boys and found Mr. Stevenson with a bucket of soap and water. "Mr. Stevenson, the boys would like to clean up the garage," she offered. "I'm already working on it," he said. "I think they could help you. In fact, I think all three of us could help you," she suggested. "I think it would be helpful, not just for you, but for them to be responsible for what they did," Sarah explained. Mr. Stevenson stood up, very tall, with his hands on his hips again. Then he held his chin with one hand and squinted his eyes. "Well, I guess that might be a good thing," he said. "We'll need more buckets, more water, and more soap. And we'll need to do it in a hurry before the fruit dries onto the wood. That's why I'm out here so quickly to clean it up." Well, soap, water, and laughter among the boys and Sarah splashed all over the wooden exterior of the garage, and even Mr. Stevenson began to smile when he realized that David and Muhammad were both good kids who made a bad choice. "Mr. Stevenson, thank you so much for letting us help you clean the garage," said Sarah. "I think it's important for the boys to be responsible for the mess they made. But I'm also thankful we've gotten to spend some time with you. We haven't invited you to dinner since you moved in last week. Would you like to come over for dinner tonight?" "I appreciate you inviting us over, but I was wondering if we could have you over. I have a steak that I'm already going to grill outside," he said. "It's a deal," said Sarah. "I'll text Aaron to let him know. Would you like him to pick up anything on the way home from work?" "Actually, I forgot corn on the cob for the grill. He could bring some," said Mr. Stevenson. Muhammad had already returned home by the time dinner came around, but David, Sarah, and Aaron all sat in their new neighbor's kitchen, eating steak and corn on the cob. There was a lot of boring grown-up talk happening, but David knew something important had happened. He and Muhammad had wanted to hide when they felt like they were in trouble, but Sarah helped them to connect with their fearful feelings and helped them to connect with Mr. Stevenson, which was an uncomfortable thing to do. Sarah's courage to face an uncomfortable thing helped them to face an uncomfortable thing too. In the end, they all had dinner together as new neighbors with laughter and smiles, turning a bad thing into a really good thing. "Let's do this again sometime," said Mr. Stevenson. "Dinner, I mean, not the apples and oranges." Oh boy, I think everyone laughed after he said that one.